have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, and today we'll start the show by talking with you about bald eagles with our two guests. And Bald Eagle Day is coming up right now, as a matter of fact, this weekend. Gene Unger, president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council, with us today. And Jeb Barzin, Jeb, wildlife biologist, worked for the International Crane Foundation for over 28 years. He's been with the council for a long time as well, and has helped direct some of the eagle research the council gets involved in. So we'll be talking about this year's event and, of course, taking your questions about bald eagles. What do you have about these magnificent birds? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. And love to see your eagle photos, so you can just post them up on our Facebook page. Gene Unger, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry. This is my first time in the studio with you, and I have put many miles traveling listening to your program.
Well, it's great to have you here. Jeb Barzin, he's been on the show a lot of times. Jeb, great to have you with us.
You're welcome, and it's just wonderful to be here.
Well, let's talk about Eagle Watching Days a little bit. This weekend, things kind of, Gene, don't they start almost today, don't they?
Absolutely. They're starting with you in this program right here, and we appreciate that. This is our Wednesday kickoff. We got some setup and some other things going on earlier in the week, behind-the-scenes things, but the kickoff is actually Friday at the River Arts Center adjacent to the Saucbury High School. And 7 p.m., live Birds of Prey show, Schlitz Audubon Nature Center. Comes in and brings an awesome program in, live birds, and it is absolutely tuned to everybody in that room, all ages.
Oh, and that, what time is that?
7 p.m. Friday night. We kind of call that the locals because Saturday gets pretty busy around Sauk Prairie.
So that's Friday night, and then Saturday morning, bright and early, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, the earlier you get to Peur de Sac, Sauk Prairie area there, the quicker you'll see birds. They are definitely up very early. But we've got some breakfast and stuff starting off with the Kiwanis. We got some raffles and exhibits and stuff throughout. There's various spots. You can go online. We even have a map for your mobile, for your smartphone and whatever, to connect everything that's going on. Bird watching tours. We have bus tours that go around to the different hotspots. Hotspots for looking for eagles or watching eagles would be at the Overlook in Peur de Sac, the village parking lot, the VFW park, and also the Peur de Sac Dam, the Lion Energy Dam.
So lots going on, and we can talk. We'll get into some more of the details of that as we move along. Already callers online with questions for you. And, well, here's, this one isn't related to eagles, but another good bird. Jim in Rice Lake, hi.
Hi, and thanks for having me on. I live in northern Wisconsin, and with a river in Rice Lake that never freezes and the Highway 53 carrying smorgasbord, I see bald eagles. I drive a lot for my work. Almost every other day, they're the most common bird I see other than the finches at my wife's bird feeder in the summertime. They even had a pair a few years back that made it on top of the local Shopko roof. So my comment is I don't see many osprey anymore, and I know that bald eagles are dominant species. Have they affected them? And are they not almost common in northern Wisconsin? Based on my experience, I'll be interested in your guest response.
Yeah, Jeb Barzin, let's turn to you for that.
Well, we don't know of specific negative interactions between ospreys and bald eagles, but the bald eagle recovery and the osprey recovery since the early 1970s are both wildlife success stories.
Yeah.
They were thought almost gone and have really stormed back. So they're great stories. But the bald eagles have come back a lot more than the ospreys have come back. And we're not quite sure why. There could be some competitions for nesting territories and fish resources, but I'm not really terribly convinced of that, and we haven't figured out ospreys quite as well as we have eagles. Maybe eagles are just more adaptable. I don't know.
Yeah, it could well be. Thanks a lot for calling, Jim. Appreciate your call. Stephen in Waterford, your turn. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, I just wanted to let people know that in Waterford along the Fox River, for the last month now, I've seen a bald eagle flying up and down the river. I've seen him about six times, so I don't think he was just passing through. But and it's a very narrow river. So at that point, so you can really get a good view of him just kind of coasting down the river looking for food.
Yeah, looking for food. That's great. Thanks, Stephen, for calling. And, you know, Gene, I think we have, I think there's only one county in the state that does not have an eagle nesting pair, if I'm not mistaken. Am I wrong on that? I think it's just one county, Milwaukee, isn't it?
I can't remember for sure if it's just one, but it's very few counties now that don't have yet a bald eagle nesting, and they could be soon knocked off, because in 2017, I think they had almost 1,600 nest or occupied nesting territories, is the way that the Natural Heritage, Bureau of Natural Heritage Conservation calls it. They had, I think, 1,590 occupied territories that they found. So that number keeps going up, and it's an exciting story. So if Milwaukee doesn't have nesting eagles in it, they might soon.
They might soon.
You know, even that trip down the Fox River that he's seen that eagle taking, you know, absolutely, on leaf-off conditions, you'd be surprised. You take a corner out on a country road, and you might just see an eagle's nest back there, and it's like, oh, wow. You know, the population has gone up. They're a bit territorial. They're looking for some of that, I'll call it sanctuary woods. Food needs to be food close by.
Yeah.
So seeing that eagle is exactly what we would expect.
And, you know, we were just talking about this the other day. When I was a kid, you never saw an eagle in southern Wisconsin, and I always looked forward to muskie fishing in northern Wisconsin. And, you know, maybe on one day or 2 days of a week you were there fishing, you might see an eagle. And now you can see an eagle pretty much any day anywhere in the state, which is great.
So when they first started doing the nest surveys in, I think it was 1972, they tallied 108 occupied nesting territories. And so now we have almost 1,600. So that just gives you an idea of how that population has increased. And as the population has increased, birds have also expanded their distribution and are now using areas that we would have never thought appropriate for eagles to nest in. They're nesting on oak trees, and they're nesting in all kinds of different things. They'll sometimes nest very close to human settlements and or human houses and things like that, and we didn't think that would be possible. So
yeah,
things have changed.
And there are a lot of eagles out there, but it's still fun, and I always enjoy going to eagle watching days, because here you've got a real concentration of eagles. Gene, maybe talk a little more about why that is.
Sure. You know, you wouldn't consider seeing an eagle in the quantities that do show up at Pertisac, Sauk Prairie area. You wouldn't consider that to be common. You consider more rare, but
right,
we have now for the last 30 years through a number of different ecological programs and stuff. But I like to think that in the Sauk Prairie area, we're doing some of the correct things too with respect to habitat and respecting the birds. They are close to us. You can get access just literally feet away sometimes, in some cases, you know, with the river. And so we have to be doing some of the right things from an environmental, from a habitat, and respecting those bird space, if you will.
What is what are you talking about in terms of a number of eagles that are over there in that eagle for eagle watching days? How many eagles might a person see in a day of watching over there?
Gee, that's a hard number to guess at. You should be able to see 5, 6, 10 eagles. It really depends on how many birds are in the area.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's hard to address is, like right now, a week ago, our highs were in the single digits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now we have highs that are in the 40-degree range almost.
Yeah.
And so as that temperature fluctuates dramatically, so do the amount of ice cover on the river, and the amount of snow cover that exists, which means the amount of food that's available for eagles. And so eagles are constantly shifting around in the wintertime to respond to that. And so it's a little bit hard. We're going to have cooler weather or normal weather for eagle watching days, but a lot of birds might have moved back into that area as more habitat essentially or more food becomes available to the birds. So it's a little bit hard to know for sure, but almost everybody who comes up for eagle days should have a chance to see some eagles. How about that?
I'm pretty sure of that. Mike in Fenimore, it's your turn. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Great show.
Thank you. What's on your mind?
Well, we had a little run-in with the bald eagle this morning by Dodgeville. Just getting on to the main highway there on the off-ramp, there was an eagle standing right on the side of the road. No roadkill around, so we figured we should call someone to maybe it looked a little sick or injured. So we called the sheriff's dispatcher, and his first response was, no, the eagle is fine. He's there all the time. I get calls all day long. So I'm just wondering, there was no roadkill around, and, you know, I'm more worried about hitting a deer or an eagle these days than I am a deer. But I'm just wondering why this eagle might be hanging in that particular spot.
Yeah, interesting. Wow. Gene, any thoughts on that?
I have seen the same thing, too. You know, eagles are large birds, got huge wingspans, take an enormous amount of, I'll just say, real estate to take off and land. A little bit of snow cover. Maybe there was a small roadkill or something that was in that area, and the snow blew over, covered it or whatever. But they're generally located somewhere, especially close to a highway, for a reason.
Yeah.
Be something there.
Almost for sure. You'd think food. I think Jeb and Gene is probably right about that.
Oh, food drives not only eagles, but humans. You know, so food is an important part. And Gene's absolutely right. Even if you don't see the food, doesn't mean it isn't there. You can have small animals that are in the vegetation that the birds can find, but that we cannot. I think another thing that's really fun in your observation, Mike, is that eagles are long-lived birds. Just like humans are long-lived, and eagles are very individualistic. And so eagles can learn about different ways of acquiring food that other eagles don't learn necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see some eagles behaving very differently than others. It's hard to make generalizations about such an individualistic sort of bird. And so this eagle might have learned that it can find food readily along roadsides and do it more commonly, as the dispatcher is suggesting. They've gotten one or two calls on this bird, and that's what they've surmised, and they're probably right. Now, Mike's also right, though, is that the greatest challenge for birds who learn that dead animals on roadsides are good food is that eagles can't learn how to take off faster.
Yeah.
And so what they do is they respond to a car and what they think is an appropriate time interval, and it's not. And so they're taking flight, and a car comes by, and there's a collision. And so Mike's absolutely right that you want to take care. If you see an eagle on the ground feeding on whatever, you want to slow down, because that eagle invariably can't take flight all that fast. And so by slowing down, you allow it to be able to take flight and avoid your vehicle, whereas if you're driving at a normal speed, you might have a collision.
Yeah. Mike, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. I want to go to Mac in Sand Creek next. Mac, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I got two eagles on my parents' property. They own about 40 acres, and you said that they were territorial. I was just wondering how big that territory is.
Yeah. Gene, a comment?
I grew up on the Wisconsin River right there in Pertisac. I tell people I haven't gotten far in life, and I love to be right where I grew up. And I did see the eagles' concentration grow and come into that area. We have a nest in Pertisac. If you're looking east from Grand Avenue, there's a nest there. Leaf-off conditions, you can see. One or two of the eagles will invariably be sitting up in the nest already, you know, preparing for the next phase, I guess. And I have seen those birds kind of chase other birds out of their space, but it's literally only a half a mile or so. But I'm guessing that as the population increases, they're going to need to learn to live closer together.
Yeah. Jeb, any research on that you know about?
Well, we don't have that much research on eagles, because they're difficult to mark individually.
Yeah.
Other long-lived territorial birds like cranes, that I just happened to have done research on, they do, Gene's absolutely right, as the populations increase, territories get smaller because the birds just simply don't need to or can't defend such big expanses of areas, and so they don't. And I would guess that eagle territories would likely be in the couple hundred acre range. But as our population of eagles grows, that might decline some. We know that now there are more birds nesting just along the lower Wisconsin River, including the nests that Gene's talking about, than we ever thought possible. And yeah. So we're learning more as the densities of these birds change because they're flexible. And
pretty cool. Thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Gene Unger, president of the Fairy Bluff Eagle Council. Jeb Barzin, wildlife biologist, who's been with a member of the Fairy Bluff Council for 29 years and directed their eagle research, as we talk with them about eagles and eagle watching days, the 12th and the 13th of January. Coming right up here on the Ideas Network, I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our on-air producer. Coming up at 11:45 today, we'll talk to Reggie McLeod about other events and news happenings along the Mississippi River. So I hope you can stay with us for that. Right now, taking a look at eagles and eagle watching days coming up January 12th and 13th at Sauk City in Prairie du Sac, Wisconsin. Bald Eagle Watching Day's 31st annual. And, Gene, maybe we should talk, before we go back to the phones, and we'll get to them. There's one open line, by the way, at 800-642-1234. But tell us a little more about the events that are going on during Eagle Watching Days that we can see on Saturday.
On Saturday, absolutely. The eagle watching, of course, on the river anywhere at our critical, I guess, overlooks and VFW and the Lion Energy Dam down there. But the programs, the base, the core programs where we bring the speakers in, National Eagle Center, Schlitz Audubon, Frank LaCour, Art and Dawn Chagoni, David Stokes. The Schlitz Audubon program, the first one right here would be actually the Golden Eagle Project's going to kick off first, 9 to 9:45, National Eagle Center. Live Bird of Prey Show at 10 a.m., Schlitz Audubon doing that program, 10 a.m. at the River Art Center adjacent to the Sauk Prairie High School. And we would have normally had a eagle release due to, you know, circumstances outside of our control. We won't be doing that release. But during that time, that 1 o'clock to 3 p.m., we're going to fill that at the River Arts Center in a gorgeous arena there. We're going to show Nature, American Eagle, 2008 documentary that followed a pair of nesting eagles in the Decorah, Iowa area in their nest. Awesome. And I believe that 2008 is the one that kind of took the internet down in northern Minnesota, you know, southern Minnesota, northern Iowa, whatever, you know, western Wisconsin. Over a million hits on it. People are interested. It's very cool. We're going to show that. And that's from 1 until 1:50. And then on Saturday, again, from 2 to 3 p.m., we're going to talk about eagles, the view of winter, basically the view of winter in Wisconsin to those eagles. Jeb will be one of those speakers.
Yeah, so lots of really great things going on, and it's really fun. Having been there myself on more than one occasion, I know I always learn something, and it's just a lot of fun. Plus, the food's good, too, there.
Right? Yeah, the food's good, too.
We
will have one late show, 3:30 to 4:30, to catch people that have had to work in the morning or something like that. But the Live Bird of Prey show, Schlitz Audubon, at the River Art Center, 3:30 to 4:30.
And then you can jump on a bus. That's the thing that I remember doing that, and they'll take you right to where you can see the eagles.
Absolutely. They'll take you from the River Art Center. They'll bring you right down Water Street. We'll stop at the Overlook. You'll be able to get off the bus, take a look, watch the activity that's going on between Eagle Island and basically downtown Prairie du Sac. From there, they would go to the VFW, the Veterans Park. Nice long drive through their big open area. Be a little bit patient. If you don't see anything, they'll show up. It's pretty cool. Then the Prairie du Sac Dam as well, another hot spot.
And Susan in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Susan. Thank you for calling.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I was a volunteer at the Dane County Humane Society's Wildlife Center for several years, and when we would get calls regarding an eagle sitting along the highway, we would be concerned and we'd often send out one of our people or have the warden go out there to try to sometimes get the bird, if it, because often that they had picked up enough lead shot and such, that they had high lead content, and that's one of the indicators for us was that a bird was having problems. And so I guess if I would, you know, if I was saw a bird repeatedly by the highway and such, and it, you know, didn't ever move, didn't ever fly away, my call would be to the, actually to the Dane County Humane, or the Wildlife Center there, because we have, you know, we end up with eagles from all over southern Wisconsin that we then rehab and help try to get their blood levels back to something normal that where they can survive. So yeah. I just wanted to pass that on.
All right. Susan, thanks so much. Gene, a comment?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, Susan, for that passion for those birds and stuff. And you are absolutely right. You're looking for this abnormal type behavior with them. The big thing for me was in getting engaged with Ferry Bluff was understanding the difference between the first responder, like she talked about. Here's this bird. Who do you call? Who can help? Kind of the 911, if you will, yeah, of the first responder, and hopefully from that point on, it goes to a rehabilitator, a rehab, which is going to probably take months. Big difference between the two, but the same passion at both places.
Dave in Wausau, thank you for calling. Hi.
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Nice program. Speaking of rehabs, I have to put a plug up here in Wausau. We are incredibly lucky to have the amazing Marge Gibson and the Raptor Rehabilitation Education Group in Rhinelander. We get to see releases if we want on a regular basis. I think she's got two eagle release up on her Facebook page. And she said in that same release she has 36 right now that they're rehabbing.
Wow.
My comment, though, is you had a previous caller who was talking about osprey. In Wausau, of course, we have the Wisconsin River. And every year for the last 5 years, which is about how long I've been paying close attention, we've had at least three nesting pairs between Mosinee and Wausau, Wisconsin. So if he wants to see ospreys, get your butt to Wausau and we might tell you where they are.
There you go. Dave, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
Those osprey just bring a whole different element to watching a large bird. I mean, the eagle soars, flies by, and the osprey will just sit there and hover like a helicopter. They're awesome.
Carol in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We live on Lake Monona here in Madison, and we had two nesting eagle in our neighborhood, and they had two young, and the parents are back and rebuilding their nest. And I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about when they lay their eggs and how long the young are in the nest. And we haven't seen the young since, I think, August, so just interested in some information.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Jeb, do you want to take that?
Yeah, for our area, you have to be careful with these numbers because eagles now nest throughout the U.S., and so the dates and so on vary. But in our particular area on Lake Monona, you would expect to have eggs in the nest by the end of February or early March. Those eggs would hatch in about 26 days or so. And then it would take the birds about 10 to 12 weeks to what we would call fledge, where they can actually be able to fly enough to leave the nest. But they'll still be under the care of the parents. The parents will still continue to feed them and so on for another month or two beyond that. And so you can expect the birds to be becoming independent somewhere in July and August in our area.
Okay.
But if the birds re-nest, of course, that all gets shifted
to
later. So if they lose their first set of eggs, they can possibly re-nest if there's enough food around. And so that can be delayed. One other really interesting thing is once those young really leave the territory, they become very bohemian. and so those young can go all the way up to the Arctic. And come back. They're very, very dispersive when they are moving about and can cover a lot of ground. And yet they often will come back to our same general area.
Really interesting. Thanks, Carol. Appreciate your call. Kevin in Crivets, we'll go to you next. Hi, Kevin.
Hi. You know, up in Crivets, we've got a lot of bald eagles. Every year, I mean, we see a group of between like 8 to 14 at a time circling kind of above our place, a little bit north of Crivets. But, you know, I'm not really sure why they do that. But I'm curious where, I know they do the surveys of where the nesting pairs are. Is there a map that shows where those nesting pairs are? So when I see these 8 to 14 birds circling around in this big, big group, I could kind of figure out where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Well, there's a map that's by county and the number of pairs within each county, but the precise locations of nests are not posted for obvious reasons to kind of avoid having excessive disturbance around any particular nest. If you're seeing 8 to 14 birds, those are not likely birds that are territorial at the time. So you're either seeing them in winter or perhaps in fall, and the birds are aggregated because of food, or... if you're seeing them during the summertime and you have that many birds around, those are birds that are not likely to be territorial. So they're actually not nesting yet. And so that information doesn't help you to kind of locate a particular nest.
Hmm. Interesting. Thanks, Kevin, for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too. We have open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Excuse me, you can also post on our Facebook page and email us as well with your questions, comments, or photos. We have some nice photos up on Facebook right now, Eagle photos that listeners have posted. So if you want to see some cool photos, go under posts and to our program notes within our Facebook page. I'm just looking at one right now. Rhonda sent us from North Point, Michigan. Couple of eagles and right along the lake there, as you can see, and they're really pretty birds, just standing there looking around. that's great. Are there other things? I got to remember now to go back to the schedule of events. there was one called Laughing with Animals. David Stokes.
David does a fabulous program. And again, as I said earlier, any age in the audience is absolutely entertained. And there is a takeaway from every one of his programs, all the way from the small animals, the turtles on a tarp at the school programs. We sponsor a program as well at the elementary school in Pertisac. 450 kids will just intimately sit down with Mr. Stokes and laugh the afternoon. But they will learn. They will also learn, and they'll have lots of takeaways from that. We really enjoy David's program, and it's been priceless for us.
I'd put in that Eagle Days is kind of fun because it's a really great family affair.
Yeah.
There's food. There's face painting. There are things for young kids, middle kids, older kids, adult kids. So there's really a lot for families, and perhaps one of the biggest criteria for families is it's free.
Yeah.
So it's a really open kind of event, and I think people would have a lot of fun.
Well, absolutely. We have to just shout out, you know, to our sponsors. It's fantastic. It cost us roughly around $10,000 to $12,000 to put on a couple of days education program for speakers and programs, facilities, and our sponsors have met that every time. So as Jeb said, free. You don't need your wallet for anything except whatever else you'd like to buy. Maybe some wine, some cheese, maybe some, you know, gas, food, whatever. But our events are educational, and they're covered. They're
free. Yeah, that really, really great. Barb in Milwaukee has something for us. Hi, Barb.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
We were fishing below the dam on the Mississippi River near Elmo, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I stopped counting at 40 eagles. And this was probably March.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to give a shout out to the National Eagle Center in Wabasha, Minnesota, which does a fabulous job. And if anyone's in the area, they should definitely go visit.
Absolutely. There's many really nice programs going on out there. And again, a lot of passionate people. This open water, the food source, they will give you displays that are just that you'll remember.
Yeah, for sure.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you, Barb.
You know, sure. On the Mississippi River, the eagles on the Mississippi River are slightly different in many ways than they are in the lower Wisconsin. The lower Wisconsin birds, as far as we can tell, are kind of local birds. They're birds that are breeding just a little bit further north in Wisconsin, yeah. a little, and to some extent in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, maybe Ontario, or northeastern Minnesota. And they tend to congregate in the lower Wisconsin and perhaps the Upper Fox near Appleton. And they're hanging out there, being as close to their, probably their winter territories as possible. Whereas the birds on the Mississippi are coming from Manitoba, Saskatchewan, the Canadian province that I can't remember the name of now, that's changed. I apologize for that. But they're coming from a really different area. And that March grouping of eagles is really particularly fun because they're often predominantly immature birds and they're migrating through. And so, and they're there because their food resource are the large number, the hundreds of thousands of waterfowl that are there. And so they've got fish and waterfowl that are concentrating during spring, and it's really quite spectacular.
Really cool. Thanks again for that call. Let's go to Art in Lake DeBay next. Art, hi. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Good morning. I was just going to say, Lake DeBay is right between Wausau and Stevens Point.
Yep.
And we're right on the lake and have a couple of partially dead trees in front of us, which are turning into beautiful perching points for the eagles. They sit there and, you know, kind of survey the waters for that purpose. But I just wanted to bring up that we have a pair of golden eagles that are also in this area. And we had the fortune, I had the fortune of seeing a bald eagle sitting on a tree, and a golden landed right next to it.
Oh!
And you think from the air they're about the same, but the golden is about half again as big.
Yeah,
Art, yes, absolutely. And that's why at 9 to 9:45 a.m. on Saturday, why don't you come down to Pertisac and you will learn all about the golden eagles down there. The Golden Eagle Project by the National Eagle Center. I'm anxious to find out about that because, no, they're not immature. They are actually golden eagles. They're coming into this area, and we'd like to know what's up.
Yeah.
Sounds like you would, too.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, Art, for calling. And that's another thing. I guess we would see once in a while some golden eagles along the Mississippi, on the Wisconsin side of the Mississippi. But now we're seeing a few more getting into Wisconsin, Jeb.
Yeah, there's golden eagles are also making a recovery, but it's a little bit more subtle. The population numbers are growing more slowly, and it's also fairly difficult to tell the difference between a golden eagle and an immature bald eagle. And so a lot of times there's misidentifications, but golden eagles are in our area and they're growing more so in numbers. It used to be that only rarely would you see immatures in the wintertime, but now you're starting to see adults, and there's some nesting activities along the Wisconsin River. Along the Mississippi River. And there's now some surveys that they're doing. I believe those surveys will occur the week after Eagle Days. And so on a weekend, they go out to try and see how many collectively golden eagles that they can find in the area. And the Driftless area, interestingly, as well as the Mississippi Valley, are the Mississippi Valley is part of the Driftless area, so the lower Wisconsin, the Mississippi, and the Kickapoo, they all are really important, apparently, areas for golden eagles in the wintertime. And they think that to some extent, all the remnant prairies that are located up on the hills are really important feeding areas for golden eagles, because golden eagles are feeding more so on, not on carrion like bald eagles are, but they're feeding on rabbits and smaller mammals, and they can find those on those open prairie outcrops.
Oh, very interesting. Thank you again for that call, and thanks for that information. I didn't know anything about that. Man, maybe we'll have to talk a little bit with Reggie McLeod when he gets on in a few minutes to talk with him about the goldens and the eagles that are coming to the Mississippi River. So we'll definitely be doing that as well. What are the events, or I should say, what's going on with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council? Talk a bit more about the council itself.
Yeah, the council itself is in 30 plus years in the Sauk Prairie area there. Jeb and Barb, you know, some of the charter members of that. There's been a passion a long time there, and there's a suitable amount of volunteers, if you will, to join in and keep this thing going every year. It is hard to find volunteers, you know, to do stuff. But this, the Eagles are, you know, they're high in the food chain. They're very interesting. We have them close by. And so we have to kind of start coming up with more things. Jeb didn't elaborate too far on, because we did a telemetry program where we actually radioed up some Eagles. You know, where did they all go? Kind of thing. So there's a lot more that we can share with you down the road. But and it was very technical, you know, very you know, from the environmental and the biological aspect of it. I'm a local, grew up right on the river, and so I'm more connected to the community, and I want to do that. I obviously can't go down that same path of discussion that Jeb can, but I can talk about what I've seen in our environment or habitat in our area, and that's going to be our focus, you know, really going forward, is to connect. And also, you know, our caller Susan there that called in about the Four Lakes and Dane County Humane Society, we absolutely need to sit down and start sharing this information between us and utilizing those 911, you know, first responder type services to know who those people are. So we want to connect.
And again, Bald Eagle watching days are Friday evening. There's an event Friday evening.
7 p.m. Yep, absolutely. Schlitz Audubon will be coming in and doing their program at 7 p.m. On Friday.
And then Saturday morning, starting first thing in the morning, pretty much.
Well, the Golden Eagle Project kicks off at 9 o'clock to 9:45, and then the first live Birds of Prey show is at 10 p.m.
So pretty much all day on Saturday.
Yeah, pretty much all day.
It's always a lot of fun. And I want to thank you guys for taking time to be with us today and talking about Bald Eagle Days and about bald eagles. Always a pleasure.
It's a pleasure to meet you and be part of the program. So hopefully I contributed.
Well, you sure did. Jeb, Gene, thank you so much. Gene Unger, president of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. Jeb Barzin, a wildlife biologist who worked at the International Crane Foundation for 28 years and a charter member of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, and has done directed the eagle research that went on with the council. Well, we'll probably talk a little bit more about eagles, maybe the eagles along the Mississippi River, as we visit with Reggie McLeod next. He is editor and publisher of Big River Magazine, and he comes by every once in a while to talk about the magazine and talk about what's going on along the Mississippi River. So you stay with us. We'll be back with Reggie McLeod in just a second.